and read some scripture to you about what the films are dealing with and the issue that is being dealt with in the showing of these films. The first 35 verses of the Bible may be the most important 35 verses you could ever contemplate. 31 of these verses in the first chapter, the first four verses of the second chapter, these 35 verses deal with the whole record of the creation world as and life and everything that is made. All of it is discussed, taught us in these first 35 verses of the Bible. It has been said that Genesis is the seed plot of the whole Bible. All the truth of the Bible finds its fountainhead in the book of Genesis and runs from there throughout the rest of the Bible. I think that's true. In these 35 verses, you find the fountainhead for all that's in the book of Genesis and all that's in the rest of the Bible. They could easily be the most, if you could say one verse or verses of Scripture is more important than the other, these are the 35 most important verses of Scripture you could ever contemplate. I want to read just a part of it tonight. We'll be reading all of it from time to time during these 6 weeks. But let's begin with Genesis 1:1. That's where God begins, the record in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." Here's an important expression in these first few verses of the Bible, found a number of times. After his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let it be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now you notice God says in his word, repeatedly, after each day of creation, "And the evening and the morning were the first day, second day, third day," and so forth. Now, there are those who would want to make us believe that it took a long time for things to come into existence, and that these days are not solar days, but days which indicate long periods of time. We can take one verse of Scripture in the Bible, and maybe we'll deal with that a little bit more next Sunday night, and show that that is not true. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11 mentions the fact that God made the earth and all that in it is and all the universe in 6 days and rested the seventh day. And in the Old Testament commanded the people of God to take the seventh day for a Sabbath day. And only the most foolish person in the world could ever believe that God would have people set aside a Sabbath that was many, many years. No, it was a solar day of 24 hours. So were the days of creation. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created the great whales, an ever-living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. This is the Trinity. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And that's exactly what we believe. Now, I'm not a scientist. And you know, really, I'm glad that I'm not, because I am a Christian. And if I were a scientist, someone might say that Tom Malone is a Christian scientist, and I'd be greatly insulted, because really, I'm a Baptist. But I believe the Bible, and I've never been embarrassed about believing the Bible. Never one time. I've been in the Bible now for 49 years in just a few weeks. I've never been embarrassed by believing, because I believe that God created everything, every animate and every inanimate thing in all this universe came from the hand of God. The old-fashioned country people where I was raised used to refer to God as my maker. That's exactly what he is. For God made man in his own image. Now, in the last 200 years or so, there's been a going away from the Bible record of the origin of all things. But I want to make just a statement or two to you tonight, then the film is self-explanatory. The verification of any theory of origin lies completely beyond the scope of scientific procedure. No scientist in the world who does not believe the Bible has any explanation of origins, and no scientist has ever given any reasonable explanation of how things came to be. Empirical evidence for the origin of the universe, including our earth with its varied forms of life, is absolutely non-existent in the world of science. Don't be embarrassed because you believe the Bible, because no one can ever prove you wrong. Now, You say, what difference does it make? Quickly, I want to give you four reasons why it makes a difference whether you're a biblicist and you believe with a record of creation as it's recorded on the pages of God's holy inspired word. What difference does it make whether you're a biblicist and believes the Bible or an evolutionist? What difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. In the first place, it makes the difference of whether or not you believe in the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. We don't say the Bible contains the Word of God. We say the Bible is the Word of God. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If I do not believe the first 35 verses of the Bible, what reason do I have to believe the rest of the hundreds and thousands of verses found in the Word of God? You say, what difference does it make? It makes a difference of whether or not you believe in the inspiration of God's perfect and impeccable and eternal book or not. It makes a difference, and this is something I want you to see before we read the film tonight. It makes a difference. You know, people tell us there are many gods. Many gods. And that's what's called polytheism. We are monotheistic. That is, we believe there's only one God. Now, I could go to the Bible tonight and read a good many places where God says, I am the one and only God, and connects that fact with the fact that He is the God who made all things. I would like to take a moment to read you from Isaiah chapter 45, and we can begin maybe with verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Though all the rest of the chapter is spent in verifying this tremendous truth. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So it makes a difference whether you are monotheistic, you believe in one true and living God, or polytheistic, you believe that there could be many gods. You say, what difference does it make? It has to do with prophecy. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 through verse 13, the Bible teaches us God's going to destroy all this world in a moment. With a great noise and fervent heat, it'll all be melted. Every element shall be melted and destroyed. It'll take place instantaneously. The passage says the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Quickly He'll come. And quickly He'll destroy this earth. Well, if it took Him billions of years to get it where it is now, what reason do I have to believe He could destroy it in a second? You see, the Bible is consistent with itself. It never violates itself nor contradicts itself. It has to do with Christ. I believe in Genesis chapter 3:15 is the first promise in the Bible of a Redeemer. And if I don't believe the first 35 verses of the Bible, what reason do I have to believe that God had a son named Jesus? And He gave Him through the womb of the Virgin Mary. And He lived a perfect life for 33 years and died a vicarious death on the cross. It makes all the difference in this world whether you're a biblicist or an evolutionist. And I thank God for this good film. Now, you follow it closely. There are a few things that you might call a little bit heavy, but if you think really, they become simplified if you really pay attention to this wonderful film. All right? For things to come to be as they are today. So let's nail down tonight from the Bible that when the Bible says the first day and the second day and so forth, they're solar days. They're not periods of time longer than that. Now in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 10 and 11, now listen carefully to it. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now everyone knows that in the Old Testament, Saturday was the day of rest and the day God set forth as a Sabbath day. So here in one verse, it says in 6 days, God made the heaven and the earth, and then God blessed the seventh day and made it a Sabbath day. So if the 6 days involve millions of years, then it would be reasonable to believe that the seventh day would have to involve millions of years. Such is not the case. There are 7 days, solar days, like you and I know and experience in our lifetime. Now then, I want to just mention one other thing or two to you tonight. You know, for many years, fundamentalists have believed, and I mean great men of God have believed, that between the first verse of the Bible and the second verse of the Bible, there was what has been called the gap theory. The Bible starts off, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And many people believe between those two verses there is an undetermined long period of time in which a lot of things might have taken place. Now this has worked in favor of the evolutionist, actually, because they say, sure, that during that a long period of time, that gap theory you fundamentalists believe in and teach, all this evolution took place. But now I'd like to point out something to you. Take me 1 minute, and I think it'll be a help to you. And then we're going to see the picture. In the first chapter of Genesis, in which there are 31 verses, every verse in that chapter begins with the conjunction "and," except verse 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Every one, 30 consecutive verses, begins with the conjunction "and." Now that tells me this is sequential. It takes place one thing right after another in a rapid period of time. Now you'll find in the English translation, I'll have to mention this. I don't like to say that Hebrew says and the Greek says and so forth, but I'll have to mention it because some of you'll find in verse 27, it starts, "So God created a man in his own image." But the Hebrew word for "and" is the beginning of that verse also in the original Hebrew language of chapter 1. So keep that in mind. Every verse in chapter 1, except the first one, begins with the conjunction "and," which means it just unfolds rapidly. "And the Lord made this," "and the Lord made that." And 30 times in the first chapter of the Word of God. So it would indicate that there is no real reason to put a period of time called the gap period between the first two verses of the Bible. Now there's a wonderful man of some 300 years ago, approximately, named Archbishop James Usher. Archbishop Usher, James Usher, was a great scholar and a great man of God. He took the whole Bible and from a scholarly standpoint, he studied the ages of different men. He took the years where God put a period of years between this king and that one, or this man and that man. He studied the length of genealogies and generations of people and all the information of the Bible and came up with this date as the date when God created the heavens and the earth. And that's the year 4004 BC. And no one has ever been able to prove James Usher wrong. He is certainly approximately right. Well, some folks say, well, now look here. You take the history of nations like Egypt, and some Egyptologists say they can go back 5,000 years before Christ. But I'd like to remind you that any information going back in the history of Egypt more than 3,000 years is unwritten information and was never written in hieroglyphics or stone or any other way and based purely on tradition. No nation can trace its history back any further than 4,000 years before the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Bible and the Bible record. And tonight's film is The Earth, a Young Earth. All right, let's have the film.